Then in 1972, the Supreme Court ruled in a case versus Baird versus Eidstadt to legalize birth control for any woman. Any woman. Don't be surprised at that shot that the government's now wanting to give everybody birth control. Everybody, free. Free birth control. And who are they attacking? The church. They're demanding that the church supply birth control pills to its employees free of charge. Now, don't think of that politically. If you're immediately going over, well, you know, we'll just get a Congress or... No, it's spiritual warfare. It's spiritual warfare. It's an attack on the church based on a value system that I'm going to talk about a little. That decision, which was the right to privacy, was the foundational issue that paved the way for the legalization of abortion. Roe v. Wade, that unleashed the abortion holocaust, was a 7-2 decision. Of the five judges voting yes, of the seven voting yes, five of the judges were Republicans, appointees. The other two, one was a Republican and the other one was a Roman Catholic appointed by John Kennedy. Don't put your hope in princes and chariots. Again, look at the recent Texas decision. Who was the deciding vote that said women don't deserve the same health care as somebody going to a dentist office? When it comes to abortion, all the Texas decision was saying is what? They ought to have hospital privileges in case something happens that they can take the woman to the hospital. That it ought to have sterilized equipment. That they had the same standard. But see, that's interfering with the agenda. And so who was the deciding vote? Justice Kennedy, appointed by St. Ronald Reagan. So if you just think if we had somebody like Reagan back, we could have more pro-aborts. With the legalization of birth control and the legalization of abortion, did a lot of things. But it gave fuel to the sexual revolution. Now, sexual intercourse had no consequences. No consequences. It was Hugh Hefner came along. Hugh Hefner wasn't about naked women, although as a teenager I appreciated some of his art. Hugh Hefner was about the sexual revolution. The Playboy Mansion was celebrated with Playboy clubs. You know, Playboy Bunny. You know, you were somebody if you were at the Playboy Mansion. The celebrities that came out and pushing that agenda. And God's intention is out of the way. Sex is now for pleasure and identity and fulfillment. Has nothing to do with children. Mm-hmm. Young couples get married now and we're going to wait to have children because we have to have time to be ourselves. Well, what were you before you got married? Not yourself? And what are you going to find? There's not much there. And children will interfere with finding yourself. I think children are the blessing that teach you that life is not about you. And so it comes in, and here's planned, unplanned. This is my body. I'll do with it what I want. Keep your rosaries off my ovaries. My womb is not an incubator. Priest, priest, every day I lift the host. Say, this is my body given for you. Those are two worldviews at war. At war. And the defeat, I believe, one of the ways we're going to defeat the enemy is the Eucharist. Amen. Every time we celebrate the Eucharist, we proclaim his death, where the enemy is defeated. Enemy is defeated. Daily Eucharist. It's war. It's warfare. One of the things the Roman Catholic priests did when they got in Nuremberg, they had done the Eucharist so often that they didn't need the book. They memorized it. And they steal, in Dachau, they steal little pieces of bread. And they convinced the guards to have a cocktail hour with wine. And they gathered together, and they had said all the prayers, and they take the Eucharist. Maybe that had something to do with Hitler being defeated. And then they died. So again, the church falling into line. During that same time, St. Ronald Reagan, a divorced man, introduced no-fault divorce in the state of California. Soon, every state after that would pass legislation. So no longer was marriage about family. Marriage was about the happiness of the couple. In other words, marriage became about me. When marriage was intended by God for the protection of women and children. That's the purpose of marriage. But no longer, with no fault divorce, it didn't have to commit adultery. You just had to decide we just weren't right for each other. I was too young when I made the decision. I didn't know what I was getting into. Tough. And the divorce rate became rampant. Because marriage became... See the connection now. You say, wait a minute. If marriage is not about children and family, then why can't two men get married? What's wrong with you? You're all mean. They just love each other. And all you need is love. Love wins in the end. Why can't they find happiness? Why can't you just let gay people be happy? You're happy. So how did that connect? That's what's at stake, by the way, I believe, in the discussions that are going on in Rome right now. That's the issue, what they're trying to stand, which I think every Christian should be standing up. When's the last time you preached a sermon on God hates divorce? Hates divorce. God hates divorce. That's the word. That's scripture. He hates it. You can now go in CVS and buy greeting cards on congratulations on your recent divorce. See, no longer is marriage a covenant for procreation and protection. It's a private matter between two people. And what's going to be the fallout of all this? Consequences? There's an alarming increase in sexually transmitted diseases, including 650,000 people who have died from HIV/AIDS. According to the Center for Disease Control, there are 20 million new sexually transmitted diseases every year, including 117,000 cases of syphilis, which we thought we had eliminated. We've seen an explosion in the porn industry, the sex trade industry. Billions of dollars, $10 billion a year industry in pornography. Globally, it's $97 billion. And the access is free so that 78% of young men have seen pornography by the age of 13. So much for the birds and bees talk. Or learning what sex is about from your parents. So much for trying to talk about it as intimacy. Most college students will have had sex outside of marriage by the end of their freshman year. Fatherless children, millions of teens and young adults, one-third nationally, 78.3% in urban centers are in single-parent homes. And oftentimes with multiple biological fathers. Women and children are the poorest people in America. If you talk poverty, you're talking fatherless kids. Is the church ready to respond? Is there room in your church for the single mother and bring healing to her? Have churches, when we have a father-son event, is the fatherless kid invited and taken? They're out there. You want to talk gang violence or drive-by shootings, it's fatherless kids. I'm telling you, go down and look. Look at the issue. Get behind it. You're going to see fatherlessness. Okay. And see, we want to embrace it. We've had two presidents that are fatherless kids. Yeah, there's young people. These fatherless kids are more likely to drop out of school, go to prison, use drugs. You see, Charles there, you tell you, how many guys are fatherless? They're fatherless kids. Growing up in an urban setting with violence all around them and nobody there to tell them how to deal with the violence. And what do? They join gangs. And the gangs tell them who they are. If the church doesn't address that, we're not going to solve the drug problem in America. We're not going to solve the prison problem in America. But you are not permitted to talk about it. You're not allowed to bring it up because you're either a sexist or a racist. It has nothing to do with that. Go on to get pregnant outside of marriage. They're more likely to commit suicide, be underachievers in school, have an abortion, and end up getting a divorce. And though millennials, the young generation of people in their 20s, still believe that marriage, 83%, they also, the majority of them believe that they will not have a marriage that will last their lifetime. In other words, they're starting out in marriage going, I believe in marriage, but I'm probably going to end up divorced. They don't know what a happy marriage looks like. What are we doing in this experiment when we have two men get together? What is that child going to learn about male-female relationships? We don't know what's going to happen. But I'm telling you, it's doing a number on God's order and plan. And of that 83%, 90% of those think that you must live together before you get married to see if it will work. That's a big number. And they're putting off marriage till late 20s, early 30s, and then wondering why they're having trouble having babies, which you can now create without even having sex. You can even remove that part of the equation. So they want to develop as a person first before they live together to test out whether that person will meet their needs to make them happy. Try teaching a good sermon on holiness. You talk about this a lot of lay people, it's like talking to a deer in a headlight. Because I'm going to show you, these values are right there in the church. And then you do all of this. Why? So you can be financially secure. I love the one, I just smile when they say, well, we're living together because it's cheaper to have one apartment. And we're saving money to buy a house so we can be happy. You're living... What do you think, I fell off a banana truck? So you're celibate, right, while you're living in the house together? Financial security. Because we all know if you don't have money, you can't be happy. We learned that from Jesus, right? That contentment and self-fulfillment and all that stuff is only found, you know, in money, including your ministry, right? You all know you'd have a better ministry if you had more money. Right? You could be, that's just what's holding you back is money. If you just had money, I'd go out and buy the megabucks is up to 500 million. I'd give it a try, it's worth a buck. See if God will give you the numbers. Gambling's in the Bible. They did it at the cross. Then, this recent decision is final of same-sex marriage. Obergefell versus Hodge has totally redefined marriage in the world. And you're going to hear your bishops talk about the House of Bishops addressed this last time. And I'm speaking to you prophetically. I'm telling you prophetically that a decision is going to come down real soon that says, as a clergyman, you must perform a gay marriage. Or you can do no marriages, or we'll take away your tax exempt status. And so we don't do marriages here at Intercessor anymore. We do holy matrimony. We do the sacrament of holy matrimony, which is only for a man and a woman. The same way we only ordain men. And you better be careful about that. Yeah, those of us who are in areas where there's a large gay population, it's coming, brothers and sisters. I wouldn't be surprised by the end of this year And certainly if one of the presidential candidates wins, it'll be within 2 years. That decision will be made. And you say, can't happen. Can't happen. This is America. You mean we can't have the Ten Commandments in the courthouse? This is America. I'm telling you, hear me out. See, I'm going to vote pro-life. I think it's important to vote, but I am not putting my faith in anybody. I'm putting, I have opinions about who would be better, and I have issues that, you know, there are things that are important to me. And you know, I've never voted for anybody that I've agreed with 100%. I don't even agree with my wife 100%. You know? She agrees with probably less than with me. Because I believe, and I know some of you believe, that God is moving. God is going to move. You know? It's just interesting to me that the two candidates that won have the highest unfavorable ratings. What does that say? American people don't think any one of them are trustworthy. But the revival is not going to happen in Washington. Amen. The revival is going to happen in your church. Amen. That's where the Holy Spirit is going to move. And the church is going to arise, because what... And we need to understand, we need to let go that when we say Jesus, the kingdom of God is not the United States of America. Amen. I love America. I'm glad I'm American. By grace of God, I'm an American. But the kingdom of God and the United States are not the same thing. Kingdom of God is global. It's the entire world. And if we can just get a handle on that, you see? If we can just get one handle on that. You know, there are people say, and daily they added to their numbers those who are being saved, and they're going, well, they're not out of my church. That must not be true. Huh? The church is not talking about St. Swithin's. The church, every minute people are coming into the kingdom. Every minute heaven's being populated with the saints. Every second, every take a breath, somebody somewhere has said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Every second, angels and archangels and all the company of heaven are crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Every second, every moment, the saints are before the throne of God, crying out to God, how long? How long? And God is hearing the prayers. And it's happening. But we need to repent that we have put our trust in man and not in God. Not just about having a prayer meeting and praying a long time. You can't preach the gospel without preaching repentance. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And receive the Holy Spirit. And this is a promise to you and to your children. Let's take a break for 10 minutes.